Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. So good to be here together. There's plenty of seats down here if you would like to join us sitting down. If you want to stand up, that's totally fine too. I'd just love to concur with Alan that during youth camp, I absolutely loved it. And I'm certainly happy for an extra hour's sleep this morning. I stayed overnight there and it wasn't that much mayhem, but it was still tiring. Just being with so much energy in the room and being with so many amazing young people. Just a real joy to spend time with our young adults who are leaders of the youth. And part of my role this year has been to take on pastoral leadership with our young adults as well. And so, yeah, it's just a picture of heaven, I reckon. It's like being together all day, every day, kicking the football, and also spending time in God's Word and eating together and worshiping together, and to see 100 kids on their knees just saying yes to Jesus and welcoming Him into their life is just so inspiring. So I hope you're encouraged as much as I am. It's a joy. And also last night we had a wedding of two of our young adults, Mel and Liam, and now Mr. and Mrs. Mel and Liam Edie. So give them a round of applause. They're guys that grew up in our youth group and have become leaders themselves and have been journeying with us for a long time. And it's just awesome to see the pictures of God growing His kingdom. And that's what we're talking about, living in the kingdom. And we also talked this morning about what it is to allow Jesus to take our sins and our sorrows. And as we think about the kingdom, that's definitely where His kingdom starts, isn't it? Where we look to Him and we say, I've been trying to live life my own way, but I'm willing to let You take my mistakes, my sins and my sorrows. That's where His kingdom begins. There's so much more of His kingdom that we're going to try and unpack a little bit of today about what it is. But it certainly begins with acknowledging that Jesus came, walked the earth, died for us and wanted to give Himself to us as a substitute for the death that is growing in our life through our sin. And that is such a beautiful starting place, isn't it? It's just such a relief. And the Bible Jesus describes it Himself as being new birth, just like a baby being born, new birth. And we don't get a new body per se. We don't become a baby again, but spiritually we are reborn. And that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Of starting again. We've had a baby born in our midst in our New Hope community this week. The Allen family and the Pittendries are celebrating being grandparents as Raymond and Tori's little baby arrived this week. And it's such a joy, isn't it, when new life comes. And pretty soon the growth happens. The baby begins to grow. And probably within a year or so, the parents start leading the child to begin to walk and take those first steps. And maybe they fall over a couple of times and they get a few bumps and bruises along the way, but they begin to learn to walk. And then eventually, as they become an adolescent, they begin to run. Run is just for fun sometimes. It's just to be about beginning to learn to explore what it is to run. But eventually that run becomes for a purpose. Maybe mum and dad are hurrying to get somewhere with the little one and the run is included in that. Or maybe they join a sport or a fitness pursuit, and running becomes part of that. And pretty soon we forgot how amazing it was that they were born and how amazing it was that they began to walk, and we're already thinking about life as it progresses. There's certainly a serious quickness to the progression of life, isn't there? And as we get to middle age, it's almost like we forgot the miracle that it actually is to breathe, that you and I are living, breathing human beings. I'll never forget the moments where I saw my own children being born and just been absolutely amazed that they somehow began to breathe. And yet you and I have that absolute miracle happening in us each and every day. So the kingdom of God is like being reborn, but then there's a process of growth. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got the Master, Jesus, and His words to unpack today. And that's going to be a joy to hear that. We're going to dive into a parable as we begin over the next few weeks to look at some of the parables that Jesus spoke about the kingdom. And the good part about today's parable is that Jesus actually goes ahead and explains it for us. Sometimes he gives a parable where he doesn't explain it. Do you know what a parable is? It's like a story. It's kind of like a yarn that they tell down at the pub. But he doesn't give all the information sometimes. He just sort of points the arrow as to what he means. Well, this parable, he gives us a fair bit more information, and we're going to read from that today. We're going to check out, if you've got your Bible with you, you'd like to join it. It's Matthew chapter 13, and we're starting from verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying the farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Another seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And now we jump down to verse 18 and we hear Jesus explaining this parable to his disciples from verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was already sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. And this is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. A couple of things I want you to notice first up, that we are all invited into this narrative. I don't know whether you were sort of thinking about yourself as you're reading it. This is the amazing thing about Jesus' words, isn't it? They kind of cut, they dig a little bit, they give you a nudge. Did you see yourself in there at all? Give me a nod if you saw yourself. Yeah, a few of you are nodding. Second thing, at every stage along the journey, our Heavenly Father is the one who's sowing the seeds. And His goal is for good. His goal is that you and I will get the seeds, that we will receive them. He wants the best for you and I. And He wants us to be a part of His monumental plan. What's His monumental plan? Well, He's come to save the world. The Bible said that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. There's definitely some barriers for you and me, isn't there? It's not all easy. I'm pretty sure that some of you would say, I'm interested in being a part of this kingdom of God. Some of you would be like, yep, sign me up. I'm ready to go. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a seed. I want to be a person who helps other people receive the seed. I want to be someone who can share the joy that I've already received with others. Some of you might be saying, that sounds like a really, really good idea, but I've got some stuff I'm trying to deal with. I'm not really there yet. Life's got its challenges. And it sounds like a good idea, but life's brought me some really tough stuff. And some of you will be saying, I don't even really understand maybe what this is all about. I'm just looking in on this Jesus guy for the first time. I can relate to that. I feel like I've been on a journey through my life of trying to discover who this Jesus guy is. And it takes some time, doesn't it? It takes some time to deal with just understanding who he is. There's actually a battle going on over our lives. Don't panic. There's no need to worry about this. God's in control, but if it's something you didn't already know, that as God is throwing the seed our way, there is an enemy who's coming to steal it away from us. The enemy does not want you to have a relationship with God. He doesn't want you getting into him. He doesn't want you becoming free from all your sins. He doesn't want you to see Jesus clearly, and he certainly doesn't want you leading others to Jesus. So that's why he comes to snatch away what has been meant for you. Did you know that? Did you know that there's a battle going on for your life? This is part one of what we read today. In verse 19, Jesus said, "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path." So maybe you read or you come to church, you read the Bible, you hear people talking about God, but you don't really understand it. That's when the enemy comes to snatch it away from you. And in response to this, we can do something. We're not trapped. We can do it. We can open the door to our heart to allow more seed in. Invite Jesus into our life. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Regardless of what's happened or what's been done to you, what you've allowed to happen to yourself, or what the enemy has taken from us when we weren't even looking, God still has a good plan for you and me. You can invite God in and ask him to give you a desire to understand what you've been through. Or you can invite him in and ask God, "What's in the way of me understanding you?" God wants to use your story to rebuild you and to make your life shine for his glory. But he's a true gentleman and he won't force his way in. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to open the door and let him in. He's calling out, "Choose me." Let's look at the next part. The seed falling on rocky ground. Jesus said that this refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So maybe we begin to feel something from God. Maybe we connect a little with him. Maybe we learn something good from coming to church or reading the Bible. We get a glimpse or a short burst of understanding. But troubles keep coming, because troubles will come. It's inevitable. And there can be some confusion here, can't there? Because we think as soon as we start following Jesus that everything should be 100%. But that's not what he promised. And often we notice the enemy will kind of up the amount of trouble, like a hurdle that we have to jump. But we wither, like the sun scorching a seedling. So what do you do? What do you do when this is happening in your life? Well, I think you ask God to grow deeper roots in you. And as the kids' church leaders led us this morning, get a Bible, get a reading plan, get an app on your phone, and just start to dig in deeper, lock into a plan. I'm very lucky in the early part of my journey with God, if you like, for want of a better term. Even when I was growing enthusiasm, I had some great people come to me and say, "Could we sit and read the Bible together?" Maybe you got a passion to help someone else read the Bible with you. Or maybe you're sitting here saying, "I would love to have somebody come and sit and read the Bible with me." Someone who's patient, who just listens and never forces their understanding on you. But I was so blessed to have so many great people who've just sat with me and waited, weeks upon weeks, and it takes time to comprehend. It's so, also so life-giving to sit down with someone in prayer. And we have a wonderful prayer healing ministry here at New Hope where you can come and sit for a couple of hours even and just the team just lead you back through some of the tough things that have happened in your life, and we can ask God to heal those things. That's beautiful. It's really, really special. And there's nothing better than feeling God set you free from the past or some of the tough stuff that has happened to you. And we offer prayer here every Sunday at the front, at the end of the service. And I just invite you, if you feel like that is something you need to do to get past a barrier, to please take us up on that offer. There's so many great people here each week willing to pray. Because God is still calling out to you, choose me. Don't choose to believe that the roadblocks can't be moved. Don't believe that the pain of the past can't be healed. It can. And God wants to show you how good he is to do that. Let's pick up from verse 22, part three of this. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Okay, can you see yourself in this one? This is talking about fear and worry. And you can have a little bit of a giggle at my expense today because I think I may have co-wrote and co-authored the book on worry. Is anyone else here a worrier? It's like one thing after another, isn't it? Yeah. It's good to see a few guys put their hands up too. I want to give you a little picture this morning. I want to use this little towel and say, this is my worry. And for a long time, I prayed, God, would you take away my worries? Would you take away my fears? Nothing. Nothing happened. I said, God, would you please take away my worries, take away my fears? And I don't know how long this went on, maybe for months. And then I finally felt like God said something to me. And it wasn't an audible voice in my head. It was my wonderful wife. I think God was speaking through her. And you know what she said to me? She said, instead of just holding out your worries and fears and asking God to take them away from you, why don't you throw them on him? I was like, aha, that's a good idea. Never tried that before. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your cares on the Lord. Cast all your anxiety on him. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. I can have someone pray for me, can't I? But if I'm hanging on to my fears and my worries, my hands, they're still there. But I'm the one who's got to cast them. I'm the one who's got to let them go and throw them on God. So I just want to encourage you. Hopefully that picture helps you today. It's so easy, isn't it, to just cling on to worry and say, God, take it away. But we're the ones who have to get involved and give things over to him. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the deceitfulness of wealth. So fascinating, isn't it, that Jesus calls it the deceitfulness of wealth. It's almost like there's no good in wealth. There's deceitfulness if we want wealth and we feel like we don't have enough. And there's deceitfulness if we've got wealth. Get that? We're deceived when we think that we have to have more and we spend so much of our time chasing it. And we're deceived when it takes over the security of our life and we no longer trust in God. It's like it cuts both ways, doesn't it? And Jesus says the deceitfulness of wealth. I'm not really sure I'm an expert in knowing what the cure to this is. But lately, my young adult small group and we've been reading a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. And I tell you what, there's some amazing down-to-earth language in that book that really helps us as a group, and it's really helped me. And this book was written over 70 years ago, but I think C.S. Lewis was so onto understanding what it is in our life, there's so many challenges that we face, that he penned some amazing words, and we're going to see if the guys will bring it up on the screen for us here. It's from a chapter called Charity. Don't waste time bothering whether you love your neighbour Act as you did, as if you did. And as soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When we are behaving, when you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. We can apply that to our finances. When we don't feel good about giving, we don't give begrudgingly, but we give in advance and we wait for our feelings to catch up. And I tell you, some of the most amazing blessings come when we see how good God is. Even before we have a lot of money, you know, I'll be talking to the youth and young adults tonight, and I'll be saying, get in the rhythms and the routines of giving now, because when you do, you get the feeling that you understand God is with you. You feel him in your life. Your act of generosity lines up with his character. And he blesses you. I don't know how it works. I really don't understand it. But his spirit comes upon you in a way where you feel his comfort and his peace like nothing else. And if we can, as young people, get into that routine when we're young, we're always going to know that when we've got money later. And we're going to be willing to use it in a way that serves God. And we act out of generosity. So my question to you today is, do you want to be a part of the kingdom? Are you open? Are you open to allowing him to transform you? Like a child grows from one stage to another, say yes to Jesus and then move through the stages of growth with him as he challenges us in this parable to grow with him, to become more and more mature. All the while we're doing this, he's all about setting us free from the past, setting us free from the sin that so easily entangles and moving us into more and more of his freedom as we receive more and more of the Holy Spirit, giving us the fruit that we can do life better than we could on our own. He's calling us out. He's saying, choose me at every stage of your journey. Whether you've never chosen me before, he says, choose me. Choose me now. If you've never said yes to me, don't allow the seed to be stolen from your heart. He says, choose me as we begin to walk with him in maturity. Choose me that he may be able to set us free from worry and fear and the deceitfulness of wealth. And ultimately, that we would come to a place of being able to bear fruit, confident in our relationship with him, that we'd be able to lead others to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the people who stands up at the end of time and says, yes, I was a good and faithful servant. I led 30, 60, 100 people to you. And we should all be aspiring to this. The small sniff I've had of that, I would say it's given me the most joy I've ever had in my life, to see other people's eyes opening to the love and forgiveness and the wonder of Jesus as they come into his kingdom. So let's move together in maturity. Let's ask God for ears to hear and eyes to see. Let's ask God for the roots to grow deep, that we will not wither. Let's cast all our anxieties and worries upon the Lord. Let's be so generous that we will not let the word be choked by the deceitfulness of wealth and the love of money from our lives. And let's be so humble that we would be good soil to bring glory and delight to our Father as we produce a crop of 30, 60, and 100 times over. Will you stand with me as we pray? Dear loving Father, on this journey, we give you praise for the new life that you are giving us and what you've done in our lives in previous years. And for those here who just need to say yes to you, to say, come into my life, Lord, today, we pray. If that's you today, just invite Jesus in. He's throwing seed your way and he wants you to receive the goodness that he has. So just say, come into my life, Jesus. And God, we thank you each for each and every one in this room who have a unique story, all of us. that you've been working on each and every one of us to this point in our lives. And it's our joy to please you in return. Make us more aware today of your Holy Spirit and the ways that you would desire for us to grow and to be further set free. Help us to be faithful servants, open to your kingdom, and leading us to be the good soil of which you spoke of, and that we may bear fruit for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.